We'll have a control test.
November F-POM part 2.
Anyone still on the phone? We're ready to start up again in case there's someone on the phone. All right. Okay, I think we're ready for F-POM part 2. And I really do want to get through the change forms because last time we didn't really get through those, and I really want to get through those today.
It's 10 o'clock from now on, Spanky. I don't care what time you have to get down here.
So, but we will, I guess we'll stay in order of the agenda for now.
Thank you.
For Tammy. And so we'll start off with sea lion hazing.
Yeah, this is probably not as big of an issue as I originally thought, but just thought you guys might want to be aware that they do plan on putting concrete blocks out there on the corner collector, concrete apron. And it's only really an issue because, you know, when the tail water gets high enough, you're going to get fish swimming by there. So they're planning on running cables through the blocks so they don't get washed away or lost. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think the flow is that high, but... Anyway, if anybody has any concerns, let me know. They're fully willing to remove them before the tailwater gets high anyway. So
are they?
That's why I'm here. Whether they do it or not, no question. They said they're willing to.
Who's they?
The state, Oregon.
How big are these?
They're your basic, I call them deck blocks, but pier blocks, you know, kind of trapezoid or something. How much bigger than cinder block size?
Oh.
Cinder block. Pretty small. Maybe bigger. If they
can find it. We won't stay there if there's
water. Well, that's whether it's going to cable them all together, I think, is a spot.
They won't all wash. Are they
putting them in the water?
No, how do they intend to hold them down?
Gravity.
I think they're just taking the weight. So they're not going to anchor into the.
So they're just talking sitting?
Yep.
There's the lip.
Most, I mean, last year the tailwater didn't even come up enough when it was submerged that much, so. And there's really not a ton of flow right along the bank.
Did John and Ben talk to you before they left? They expressed concern about any potential rebar metal cabling next to the tank detector.
Great.
Good point.
Yep.
Yeah, the other thing is predator habitat. If they're underwater, they should be. The idea was to keep that smooth, so they should pull them out.
Okay.
That sounds like more than I should. They have to.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue I had with it. So I'll just let them know to remove it if we know that water's coming out.
So, question related, actually, on sea lion hazing, did you have, sea lion, I said, do you have the report for last year's consumption rates? I saw it from the Columbia River Baseball Club. I'd rather get the real number from you sometime.
Yeah, it's on the website, or okay. I can forward it to you.
They made big news.
If you want to see the companion ODWF and W report, that's out too.
You just want to send it to Tammy and then send it out to F-POM?
Yeah, and anybody else that wants to be on that weekly update I give in the spring, let me know. I don't even think Frederick was on it. I just assumed you were, but. Left you off.
Actually, I'm not on it now.
Okay, good.
Aren't those the same ones that are posted on the TMT page?
Yeah, they are. So, you know. Right. But let me know if you want it more.
Yeah, send them directly.
Okay. Good?
Yep.
Thanks.
Is someone on the phone?
Do we add one on the phone?
I thought there were some beeps.
What?
Did you, does that have one?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else on the phone besides Bill? Yeah. Okay. Well, this will maybe make a short agenda item 6, Dell's avian line.
There's a picture in your agenda. Mm-hmm. That's about all I know about it.
So, is that what they're proposing?
Is that, that's different than how they are now?
Yeah.
I should know that, and I apologize for not knowing that.
You're going to go off the bridge.
They are now. But they're kind of high.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds fly under them pretty easily.
You know what? We can just move this to December. Mira was going to be here calling, and since she's not here, we can just move it.
I guess so the question is, though, I mean, this is what they've got. There's no way they can offer them. for next year, I'm assuming?
I didn't get any write-up with this. I just got...
That coverage doesn't look very adequate. Very
robust.
Yeah, it looks pretty thin.
Isn't it due to the Glasgow County not wanting too many wires on the bridge?
On the bridge?
On the bridge.
I thought I had heard that.
I did too.
WDOT was touchy about that.
Let's punt this until next.
Okay, yeah. We will punt that. Tammy, can you talk about lamprey mounts? Or is that...
Mm-hmm.
I think this was also in the agenda. This was one of... It's, I don't know what page is it. It's after the avian picture.
Yep.
David, didn't you want this on the agenda?
No, I didn't.
You wanted
about
something
about
approved
a week ago,
at FPOM.
But I can say a few things.
Okay.
These are a few years ago when we started putting a 10-year plan together. We had all the projects kind of list potential problem areas. And these guys have been wanting to kind of do some ramping and rounding. And they've got their own engineers looking. Steve Schlenker did a review. I saw an email, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, saying he kind of thought these would be fine from a hydraulic point of view because they're relatively small and not too many. And so, I mean, I don't know any more than that at this point, where how much you guys want or need more.
What is it?
It's just some, basically there's some specific areas where there's some really small steps. And as far as of the Dalles ladder, especially, you know, at that right angle corner, where you have some really, you know, potential problematic right angle steps, and they just want to do a small rounding on the edge or a little ramp on some of these.
Gary, do you have your agenda? Because on page 5 of that.
Yeah. So it's just a list of some minor quick fixes they can do that might help their attachment. And see if there's any specific ones that are problematic and you want some more information. But a lot of them, I don't know the details about each one yet. I just saw an email of traffic talking about how Schlenker looked at some of them.
Was he okay with the 3/4 inch? Actually, I know the one that we like is the 3/4 inch gaps, but I was concerned about putting too many of those and having problems. I mean, if he's
I don't know. That's what I mean. I'm not sure enough which. I think he was, the one I saw was basically addressing the rounding parts. In the ramping stuff. So I don't know about the others yet. Some of these, like I said, I didn't see this list till probably last week. I knew most of them existed, but I didn't know they were going to really try to do them.
I don't think any of the projects have a stock of 3/4 inch grates to install at this time. So that we probably still have some time on that one to see what the hydraulic people say.
So like I said, I know the ones that like I was talking about, where the ramps and rounding kind of thing. It was just minor. They asked him to look at it for hydraulic effects.
So if FPOM wants to look at this list in more detail and kind of think about it by the next meeting, if you have any concerns, we can discuss them in a lot more detail.
So this list is things that should be done, have been done,
this list was put together by Cordy when he was chairing the Lamprey Task Group as far as where the problem areas of the three Portland District dams and what changes could be done.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's why I say it's not all of them that they're proposing to do. And that's why you need to specify which ones they really think they're going to do. And I know they were like, the ones I heard was the Dalles talking about rounding, small, or ramping really small steps. And I'd suggest making sure that, what I've been telling them in the past, is that make sure it's an area where there's enough velocity to warrant the need. I mean, that's quite a part of it. Some of them they used to look at in the beginning were down in pretty deep in some areas that didn't have much velocity by them, so they didn't really need to modify them. So I think they got it down to the ones that were more important here that they were prioritizing to try to do.
So this is being coordinated also through the Lamprey working group?
Not very much. I mean, some of these quick fixes kind of been, this has been on a list for them, and so they all approve a one that would be done. But then it goes to this arena about what can be done and how fast it can be done.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll look at it for now, but we anticipate next month there'll be a
hopefully
presentation on it. Help bring to surface some of the key. So
kind of highlight any ones you have concerns about.
Okay.
How about our engineers look at it?
Yeah.
All right. Number 8, Bonneville High Forbay.
Okay. This one may also have to move. Lori Ebner had a write-up, and I don't know if she's ready for it to be public, but it was detailing some of the issues, at least for the fishery side of things, when Forbay gets close to 78 degrees, or 78 feet. There we go. Some of the things that we noticed over at the Washington Shore at Bonneville was that the catwalk for cleaning the trash rack for FB69 was underwater, as was the pit tag detectors and the catwalk, or the pit tag detector at the exit and the catwalk for cleaning the exit trash racks, which means that fish could swim or easily jump on top of those catwalks and get stranded. The other issue is that at about 77 feet, there's maybe a foot of freeboard on the BBSs and the gate wells. So going up to 78 feet, you may be close to overtopping the BBSs. And you are shooting water through those orifices, and it is splashing well above the walkway grading in the DSM.
Plus, you're over your fine trash rack and
3-7. Oh yeah, but we've been that way for a long time. We're fixing that this winter. The inner trash rack will be raised another couple feet.
That's a problem.
Yes. So Lori was working on that. I thought she might be here today, but apparently not.
She's smarter than us.
She had a write-up done, and I don't know that she is ready for that to be public yet, so I'll get that from her and send it out when she's ready. But she thought you might be interested in some of the issues that they're finding.
So, is this just a list of what impacts on the entire Forbay? Does she list remedies, or is this just like more arguments for potentially a soft district?
That's probably closer to she wanted, when I was talking to her, she wanted the CHUM criteria to be a soft constraint rather than a hard constraint.
The CHUM what?
Utilize the space to be able to shape the flows. How would you make it a soft?
I don't know. I mean, you've either got to have the room to store water or you don't, and then when you need to store it, it's stored.
Okay. And this is
well, I guess you need to decide, do you want to impact potentially the migrating adults with walkways in their flow, or can you be flexible on the chunk?
For me personally, I'm going to have to rely on Gary unless he can give me some good pictures and some good descriptions of what the impacts are going to be and how much. So if we want to do that now, fine, we can get into it. If you want to do it next month, better pictures or diagrams or something, that would be good for me too.
Yeah, these walkways, really the bottom line is they need to be elevated. They need to get out of the water. And that's
yeah, that's not going to happen this year, though, while they're underwater.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
In November, December, is it a big deal? Because the utilization of that upper foot is less likely once you get into January on. It's during the spawning period that's most critical to shape the flows properly. After that, it's not as...
It's not as big a deal.
No. If you have higher flows, you don't need the space. You go down lower in the pool. So the problem goes away, but November, December this year, you hope to utilize it.
It's not as big a deal because there's not as many fish in the ladder. But.
Okay. Well, that seems like a long-term OPM kind of an issue. Or OPM, maintenance.
Maintenance, well.
OM, O&M.
Yeah, if they can. Really, we're pushing the limit of things that. How things are designed. I don't know why they weren't designed to actually allow operation at the authorized.
Well, I thought Bonneville was up a little bit, actually like 77 and a half.
It's a surcharge. It's a space we normally don't ever go into during a flood or a special occasion like this for the CHUM versus the wall.
We got special permission.
I've never seen it. This is the first normal procedure. November, December this year, and you're probably done for
how?
Yeah. Who knows until the next fish thing comes along.
Right. We could just increase project vigilance, see if there's any issues with the branding and anything, but you won't know if you're striking or anything like that.
Yeah. No. Doug, do you know how long the teletype allows that access into that space?
All the way till March 2010.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can terminate it sooner if we want to.
Let's look at it after we get through the chunk of money area.
Okay.
I mean, the construction guys don't need it.
Right.
I mean, that was
right.
Pushing
right. The most critical period's the next 6 weeks. After that, I'm not sure how you would use it.
That's the question. Is could you set the, I mean, if we don't need it for construction, could we set lower? Right. So you set your normal operation at 75 and surcharge up to 76.5?
Well, we're trying to do lower. We're not trying to stay as full as possible. What we're trying to do is make sure you make tail water you need with the discharge of the valves, and then see what your corresponding four-bay and bottle needs to be.
I thought the lowest elevation was 76.5 this season.
No, it can go lower than that if your discharge is not a lot of the valves.
Well, okay, but well, we didn't talk about that to set up this whole thing at the beginning, did we?
They didn't, but they refined it to that point. And I was looking at a chart yesterday or Tuesday that I'm hoping Tony's going to bring to TMT. And he's going to do a presentation on time operation.
Okay.
And that one was really telling to show that it's two variables. It's not just one like we had last year.
Great. Well, I'll be good to see you.
Okay. Ready to move into change forms. Tammy is... Are you taking the lead on all?
Are you the queen of the change form?
Portland District.
All Portland ones, yes.
Okay. So, all right, we're up with number one, Bonneville split flows.
Well, you have
the better the champion of this one.
So, bond 003?
Yes.
It's there. Are there any comments on it? This was requested from FPOM because we did have a problem with splitting flows this year since we had a low flow. We didn't have enough water to split flows. So this is just put in there that you can't split flows below a certain level. And 110 was, you need 30 total. And if we're spilling 75K, that's going to put you up at around 100, and then I threw the extra 10 in there for miscellaneous flow.
Okay, so it's one thing we could possibly look at. I don't know if you're able to do it or not.
Nice.
Looking broccoli all over the place. You look like my kids. I'm eating at home.
Well, kids.
Yes. If we could go
moving
to...
On.
Yes, moving on. If we did... I don't know if this is option or not, but could we, during these times, it's usually lower our juvenile periods, could we operate two orifice traps? And I think we have three units we could do that. We could allow that turbine unit operations for those to be... to change their operations so that would allow us some more flexibility in splitting flows. I guess what's the trade-off? Is it worthwhile to... The whole reason is we can't because of turbine unit operations at 1%. Because of screen systems. Does everyone follow me or am I just...
This is Bonneville.
Yeah.
Orifice trap.
Not orifice trap, but run two orifices instead of one.
You're talking about the second powerhouse. Still
second powerhouse. Exactly.
To get more flow by the unit, but you've got plenty. You could put all through the second powerhouse if you wanted to, but you want to have an attraction flow at the first. And so the question is, this year, I got to the criteria and went, well, I have to cut any spill to do this. That's
wait,
not what
yeah.
You guys intend.
There's two splitting flows. Are you looking at 03, which is just four splitting flows for high fish numbers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Then I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, good.
Why would we reduce turbines?
My thought was that you could then operate your turbines at a lower 1%, so you could only operate like one or two. Because you could reduce the amount of flow you needed to keep a powerhouse two. And then still put one or two units on a power source. Because right now, it says we have to run the upper.
So the flow is based on there has to be 30K running through the project through a turbine.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a powerhouse one or powerhouse two. That doesn't matter. But I think with 30K, that's one unit at each powerhouse.
Two. That's three total.
Three total. And so originally, we didn't want just one unit running at powerhouse one. We wanted two units running at powerhouse one. So with a flow of 100 to 110K or less, you're not going to get two units of powerhouse one because of spill.
Yeah, actually 120 is the number you want to use.
Okay.
If you use 30s in the powerhouse, 12 for miscellaneous, which includes the water collector, and then 75 for the spillway.
Or more.
Yeah. Or more. So.
Or more than you have to figure out.
We're still discussing summer operations at bottom.
Sure.
Some of us aren't.
So the suggestion was to change that limit to 120?
Yeah.
Right, that's your minimum.
Yeah, I was thinking more for like once you get into post-spill operations. Because we ran into that problem this last year.
This is all for pre or during spill.
It doesn't say that.
Well, in post-spill, you'll have actually 70K through the turbine.
The next one is.
Well, sounds okay to me.
It says prior to the end of summer spill right there.
Where?
It's in
2.1.2.2. 2,000 was somewhere. Is that 30,000? All right. We normally don't have this much
flow in here. Okay.
So, is everyone all right with that?
Is this unanimous approval of Bonneville 003?
You got my comments. I'm assuming the data says 120, not 110.
I do.
Correct.
I didn't get your
With the changes to 120.
With the
yes, with it changed to 120.
I sent it to you with my comments on the draft on the minutes.
Oh.
What does that mean for your support of Bonneville 003?
I'm not saying
it. You can't remember.
I did say. Yes, okay, but keep in mind that the operations that happened last year and the year before that, and the year before that,
oh, yeah, I did get that. I got that.
Because there's a negotiation going on with that
issue.
Okay, we are moving on to number two, Bonneville 004, 5.8 high head unit ops.
And this was the one that addresses operating units within the 1% criteria during high head events.
It's a high head event.
Or
a low head,
This is the language that was in the teletype. So, whoever worked on that.
How was this addressed in the past?
It was not an issue in the past, apparently.
I think this is kicking around because they are during incredibly high flows of like 800 to a million that they aren't covered. Their GDX doesn't work right, and you get an increase in the four bay.
No, this was because at a high head, they were bumping up against the 1% limit at Powerhouse 2, and they needed flexibility of operating units at Powerhouse 1.
And low flow. This was in this
low
is
flow, but high head.
Low flow, high head.
Yep. Well, because our forebay was held high, our tailwater was really low, but we didn't have enough flow to be turning on multiple more units.
So you're basically outside, you're almost getting outside 1%.
Just spill it.
All right, then. I'll just change it to
spill access to units.
Is that all it takes, really?
So the teletype allowed the project to do this. That seemed to be okay. I'm just this language on the FPP so that people know what to do.
The problem is trying to think through exactly what the operation looks like in real life.
Where's it going to bite us?
What we don't want is two units running at the second powerhouse in August, dumping smolts into a bad tail race. I could live with one. Maybe because there wouldn't be that many fish attracted to it, I hope. Two starts to get.
At Powerhouse 1?
At 1, yeah. We get more fish attracted to that.
Well, you won't have any on unless you're splitting flows for a huge number of adults.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have any units on at Powerhouse 1.
Well, we almost had to this last year.
Yeah, this was because you couldn't, your 1% range had a glitch in it. Is that what you're saying, Tammy?
No, it was just that if we were running three units at Powerhouse 2 with the high head, we were up at the upper limit of the 1%, the lower limit of the 1%. If we took a unit off, we were bumping up against the upper limit of the 1%. So if they could just put on a unit at Powerhouse 1, they were able to maintain their generation and stay within their 1% criteria all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Remember that, and that's okay. One unit, I think I can live with that, but...
And we should never need to do more than
so
one unit.
So do you want me to take out top two and just put in the top priority unit?
Top priority
I
unit.
I can do that.
Right, because that gives you flexibility. If you had enough water to run two units, you'd actually put it back over the
right.
Tower.
I think so, yeah.
You know, the operator is just like having as much flexibility as possible.
Yeah.
units.
So is the difference between those units in Powerhouse 1 and 2 such that you can't turn on an extra unit in Powerhouse 2?
Capacities are different.
Yeah, capacities are different. Lots, they're smaller in the first than the second.
Okay. Okay. That was my question.
So FPOM recommendation is only operated one. Number one
just
priority.
Just limited to one.
Yep. Who joined us on the phone?
Gordy.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Are we going to talk about bird wires at the Dalles?
Are we on that now?
We're
actually on the change forms now.
Okay.
We move past you.
Back to it?
No.
We're on the next one.
You got to wait till we're done, Gordy.
We're going to carry that and some of the Lamprey mods over to December. We had look at the Lamprey modification list and come back with comments or questions at the December meeting.
Oh, okay.
So now we're doing change forms.
Would you want to spread the Dalles?
He said no.
No. We, Bob, do you want to talk about the Dalles avian lines?
It should be like 5 minutes.
The only thing I really wanted to mention on that was the print that I sent. The print that I sent out that you guys, I assume you guys have.
Yeah.
Yes.
That shows the West Powerhouse and the spillway. Those are the new lines. We presently have lines over the did I say West? We presently have lines over the West Powerhouse. The new lines will be over the East Powerhouse. Because of what we saw last year, we had a week or two of real heavy predation on the East Powerhouse. We're thinking that was during that lamprey out-migration.
Yeah.
And those are easy ones, they're short runs, so we're just going to ban the whole thing.
And are those new bird wires on the... I guess if you want to say the Washington Shore by the spillway, that are off the bridge, are those existing?
Those would be the new ones. They ripped everything out for the spill wall.
So this is going to be all that's going to be there is those three sets?
Nine lines.
Yep, we got the ODOT gave us three attachment points on the bridge that we can span from. At least I assume we still have those three points.
Yeah, that's your limitation.
Yeah, and then we just fan out from there. Now, I just talked to Dave Hamernick for CORE. He's the tech lead on the spill wall, and there we might be able to get something on the wall.
Get some eyelets.
To attachment points on the wall.
That'd be really good. Going where? Back to the bridge.
Not sure yet. Probably just fan them out from the tip of the wall out to those three attachment points and then straight across to the Washington Shore as well. But it'd give us a lot shorter runs.
Yeah.
No, if you get some attachments on the wall and then put them back to your three points back onto the bridge, that would set up a pretty nice little mesh there that might at least make the birds a little more acrobatic in their attacks.
Yep. Yeah, that's... Hopefully.
Okay, cool.
But I imagine things are going to be changed quite a bit with this new wall. I mean, our eddy line is going to be totally different.
Yeah. So.
Better be.
We only spent $65 million, so I mean, hope we did something right.
Well, the upwelling at the upwelling will still be where it is, so it'll just be mostly powerhouse fish, hopefully.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that...
There may not be enough fish there to keep them entertained.
May not.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
All right. We are moving on to 10.3, Bonneville 005.
This is removing language for DSM-1 since it will no longer exist.
Oh, I'm going to leave it as a historical reference.
We know how much Tammy loves those kind of things left in bio.
Write
that
down as a comment.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Are there any issues with that?
No problems with that one, but the next one's a real problem.
Okay, we will then skip the next one and move on to the Dalles.
Come on.
All right, Bonneville 006.
You don't like the juvenile passage being an MGR unit? Okay, I can take that out.
Just give me a bad time. Same thing. Same issue.
So you're all okay with that one, too?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the objection?
No objection. It's just another clarification thing.
He's not really wanting to clarify a turbine as a juvenile passage route.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd be happy to take that out if you wanted.
I don't care.
Except that's where we're sending them.
Juvenile passage facility. I know. Yeah.
It's not really much of a facility.
Juvenile passage route.
You want me to change facilities to route?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Non-ideal.
Juvenile passage routes consist of. Okay. Can I move to the Dells? All right. 003, 5.7 fish unit loading during tail log installation.
This is to deal with the issue of reducing load at the fish units so they can get tail logs installed on those main turbine units. We just notified you guys of that earlier, I think, this year.
Good?
Yeah, fine. I just wondering, do we see a lot of debris getting washed back in?
Apparently. That's what I've been told.
Okay.
Now, when they do this operation, we'll still know when it's going to happen. We'll get a notice, or it'll be on the plan or something.
Yeah, it could probably be included with the weekly reports, because it would be when these units come down, perhaps for annual maintenance or whatever they're coming down for.
The report, then.
Did you catch that, Bob?
Yeah, okay. Weekly report?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that I had concern with on this one was, is 8 megawatts enough to ensure we don't get sturgeon that decided to want to go play, let's go investigate the deep dark hole and get that deep
Bob, what's your normal megawatt
on
those?
On the fish unit?
Yeah, or about, 12 or something like that?
12 to 13.
Yeah, so you're not that far off.
So
it's kicking them back a bit.
Don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the bottom of a unit's run anywhere from 9 to, 11, 12, something like that. So this is just backing off a bit.
So. I guess if we start seeing sturgeon, then we'll know it's not enough.
No, that's true.
Okay. We're good with the Dell 003.
All right, so then the next one is John Day enclosing Bill Bay 2 for maintenance activities. This was discussed at the previous FPOM. Put it in a change form.
Okay. John Day 002, approved.
Sweet.
Until we get deflector on day one, then we can do it.
All right, so now the rest are...
Okay.
Greg.
We will move on to McNary 003.
I'll speak with them.
This is the ESBS... delayed installation. I'm actually past.
Here we go.
These are. I'm passing around our collection numbers.
I have a dueling piece of information. And I have. And also, I have lamprey numbers.
Great.
I didn't print off enough for everybody, so you have to trust me that I can actually read numbers off a graph properly.
I will. Before. Yeah, before Gary gets back, can we just go approve this? I will tell you, when you're looking at these numbers, one thing that's useful to know is the 7th of April was the first day of ESBS installation. And the 14th of April was the last day of screen installation. So for that 7 days, we installed all screens.
Excuse me, Tim, are there any others?
Here, take this one.
Oh, wait,
take this one.
If you want to have one. I
can get them. I can get them.
Believe me.
Yeah, easily.
So I don't know what Gary has, but...
You're not going to like it.
These numbers are just the fish that are collected at the project.
So remind me, when did we start installation?
The 7th of April.
So then we were done by the 20th?
Done by the 14th. So you can see in the change form, I tried to get away from dates just because of work schedules and weekends and all that. So the way I wrote it in here, and with that, it's approved. Great. 0-0.
Not so fast.
You've been sick. I was waiting.
Should have
had
you do it.
I don't know if I'm allowed.
That was collated.
We're
just not stable. Oops.
And from this table that you gave us, Tim, is this just last year? Or is this
no, this is just
2009.
Okay, it's just what happened last
just
year.
Just last year.
Yeah, 2009 only.
Okay, I've got a... What I'm putting out here is...
I see your secretary collated for you, too.
Yeah, well, I just got it done today, but this is a 10-year... Looking at a 10-year record.
Okay.
I'm just getting started.
I mean, the one problem with this table, I was all excited when I finished shoes, and I just realized without screens in, it's not really telling. I mean, like,
yes.
1,000 feet might have been a lot more. You just don't have a screen.
But what I've got here is basically what I've done is I've got the 10-year record for smoke monitoring from the SMP, and these are collection numbers of the fish that are going through the bypass. So they are the fish that we're talking about, that we're concerned about.
You have some more down here? Did you guys see this?
No. I did it for Chinook and Steelhead. And what I've done is I've carried this through to what potential mortality would be from an action, depending on the date of that action for installation of screens. That's the far right-hand column.
That's not a running total.
It's a running total.
Okay.
So what I've got is the 10-year record of smolt monitoring for McNary for the month of April, for Chinook and for Steelhead. I've got the average for the 10-year, and then I've got the running sum, which is just the running sum of the total that allows me to calculate potential mortality if the screens were not put in. And what that mortality is, it's the difference between the bypass and turbid mortality. Last page shows this little spreadsheet of that. Those data were from paired release estimates. The yearling Chinook are from the 2006 through 2009 tests. And I took I grabbed an estimate from the USGS reports for each treatment that was similar to what we're doing out there now, which is a 40% spill pattern with a TSW or a simulated TSW in place. With Steelhead, we only had 2 years that we did paired release estimates, so there's only 2 years there, but those differences then I used to calculate a mortality rate that we would incur if we did not have the screens in. So as I showed my boss this morning, I asked him to pick a point, how many dead fish were acceptable. He threw it back at me.
Really?
He said that's a technical thing, not a policy thing.
I didn't know why I only wanted to do that layout a week when I started.
Hey, Gary, do you remember
when we started at April 10th instead of April 20th for spill?
Do what?
Remember when we started spilling April 20th and April 10th? Do you remember what year that was?
No, I guess. No. No, there's all kinds of things I didn't consider, you know, as far as... it doesn't matter. Spilling, it doesn't really... There could be more fish, I guess, if you were spilling true. Or less, but these are what went through. Yeah, fewer fish, but this is what went through the bypass system. This is the collection estimate that went through the bypass system for those years. So, yeah, you know, I know there's all kinds of things that affect that. But these are the numbers I had, and I didn't have all the details for each year and for each sample. I mean, there are sample error rates that are popping up for individual days, the partial samples and all that, so... You know, I don't know what I don't know what happened each of those days. Even the error rates don't tell you that. But
what's
so
the
these are just
up the, with Gary.
What?
What was the number that you came up with?
Well, I didn't come up with a number. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there for folks to look at, because what it shows is if you don't put in screens by April, let's say April 20th, if you look across, that's
that's 4,446 potential dead yearling Chinook, and 4,100 dead steelhead. So, you know, if you want to keep it under 1,000 mortalities, you've got to go all the way back up for steelhead to 10 April.
Wild or?
And for, I didn't do that, and for, we don't have the data.
Yeah,
it wasn't. There's only a couple of years listed where the wild were listed separately. Otherwise, okay. It was combined.
Yeah, but they let them go, knowing we're going to start spills. You got a huge hatchery. Involved.
There's some hatchery groups in here, and you can see that in 2008 there was a huge group of fish that went through on 6 April or 7 April.
That may have some bearing
for yearling Chinook. Yeah, I mean it inflates it on 1 year, but that's why I did a 10-year average.
Sure, and I mean it inflates it hugely.
Wow. I mean, this is. I mean, when we first started talking about this, that's why I proposed only a week, because part of the numbers were, I didn't know where that magic number would be considered either.
I don't really know, what the magic number is, but I think this allows you to at least make an informed choice.
Yeah,
you know, you look at it, well, the point is that you don't put the screens in, there's a higher mortality rate for those fish that are going through turbines. And we know at McNary that's pretty dramatic, and for steelhead, I think what was it, 16.5%, something like that.
I would be curious to know, with Martin Allman's input on this, with going above, well, at the upper end of 1%, operating the units with increased trash rack cleaning, we think our survival through the turbine is higher now based on operational modifications. Now, I don't have, the problem is we don't have those data, so I can't really argue that point.
Well, we do have survival data from 08 and 09.
So you do have it here, well, and it's showing it.
From the very back.
Last page.
That is driven survival from bypass, and
these are directly out of
that's USGS, the
USGS data.
This is the whole season, but not April, right?
No, well, they can't break out seasons. They just give you the season one.
This is for, these are for the spring.
Spring fish.
April, May, and June.
Mm-hmm. Well, mostly April and May. I don't think I don't think that the replicates go that way, really. Pretty close.
What's the trade-off here, Gary, with how many lamprey juveniles are you saving?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's the other side of it.
The number?
I'm waiting for Tom's estimate.
And they're not listed.
In that case, kill them all!
Well, the other point of this is, and I've brought this...
It's not a take.
I brought this up with our lawyers Tuesday, I guess, with Mark Ames and with Richie about whether or not this constitutes a take beyond what we anticipated for our biological opinion and would therefore require reinitiation of consultation. And Mark's take, he thought, interesting question. how well does this fit within the incidental take statement? And they're looking at that right now. He's thinking about it.
Did you adopt the fish passage plan?
No, it's part of the buyout.
And wasn't this in the fish passage plan in 2008 or 2009? I think it was in 2009.
But I'm not sure it was a provisional setup or not.
It doesn't matter. But you know, that really doesn't matter because it's the incidental take statement that matters, and that wasn't written with the fish passage plan. That was written 2 years ago. The analysis was done 2 years ago. So none of that happened last year. I just didn't really think it through far enough. But I mean, you know, I didn't do this last year.
But normally your operation adopts the fish passage plan as
it does.
So
it
that's why I'm bringing it up from a legal standpoint. You're covered, but from last year.
As long as it's not unanticipated. You know, if it gets beyond an anticipated take, we're probably okay.
And that's where you got. Will those guys advise you on that number then?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't know. Well, I know. I mean, that's. I didn't have this done until this morning. So.
Well, I was just thinking, if they are putting it into the take form, maybe there will be a number that makes sense.
Maybe. They wanted me to finish the analysis and then send it into them, so I haven't done that. I need to send this to Mark. But, you know, it kind of comes down to choosing what you think is a comfort level based on the benefits. I don't think that we'll probably get into a reinitiation issue with this, but they could. I mean, if you went far enough out,
there may be. Cumulative.
There wouldn't be just one dam.
Yeah, there's going to be potential cumulative other things.
That's too. Yeah. It'd be multiple other things, you know, from adult
Or we're just going to have to lift lamprey.
Well, you know, that would help.
So if you want to take a quick look, this is the summary of timing I had FPC put together for lamprey. And it goes, it's from 08 to 2008, if you want. I'm going to send electronic out to Tim as well.
Conservation is
so,
nice first bump there.
Yeah. The first bump, of course, happens to correspond until about the second week of approval.
That's when it starts?
There's from the data.
Bimodal.
It's bimodal. Unfortunately, most of that is driven by, I believe, 2001 other year, which I need to go back and look at the flow years and see. Yeah, I think there was probably an early bump that caused a big movement to go out. So.
This is 10 year.
Yeah, it's from 2000 to 2008.
Good.
That night, I actually have the actual numbers, and I'll send this out to you.
So you proposing taking them back out?
The early bump was 2000. That's near 20%. And I get it out from there. And I can't remember what happened in 2000.
Does that match with the analysis you did, Dave? That those numbers.
What she's doing here?
No, that you did an analysis that also showed a bimodal distribution where we have a small peak above before the big peak.
There were scattered ones, yeah. And that the problem is you also didn't have that before you start doing it. You don't always have as much data either, so. There could be other ones happening right at the cusp there, but there there might have been one even earlier than this, based on some of the past information and all. That's not that far upstream, obviously. I think it's pretty variable. Highly variable, but this is probably.
Like in 2000, 2003, your peak happened like first, second week of April.
Sure. And then the real peak coincides at all.
Yeah. And then last year it happened in And then in 08 it happened at the end of May. So, I mean,
I don't feel comfortable.
Which I think if you look at the fresh head, it's probably going to.
In a perfect world, we would be reinstalling all the screens with the lamprey safe for.
Yeah, I'll wait for you. Let's get all the lamprey safe screens.
We only have to have, 20, 30 million a dam? So it's not going away as an issue. This illustrates a lot of these conflicts that are coming up that legally have to be considered, policy and legal have to be considered how they deal with it, and whether that ends up precipitating more likelihood of listing or not. Which is conversation that people are having. But I mean, if you remember when we started this thing, I had only proposed delaying it a week because I had kind of looked at some of this stuff. And I was kind of surprised we did it as long as we did, but I was. But they are, because I didn't know where that magic number was either. I'd be really conservative if I should expect this. And again, it depends on where you, what the take issue is and what the region feels is an acceptable worth the benefit.
I don't have a recommendation. All I have is.
I don't have the answer either. Okay. It gets down to that. I guess in a way we kind of need NIFS to say what is, where do we start having to renegotiate if it is.
That's data we have in our industry.
But it's just going to change if lamprey is listed, then it's like how you balance the two.
I know. Mm-hmm. Legally,
we have that.
There is no balance.
How do you make up for 21 fit?
Is that from Rosanna?
21 adult.
There's
other ways of mitigating. Of course, you can say if you don't have, one thing to consider is if you don't have your screens you can spill to a higher level until your screens are in, and then back down to whatever spill level, so if you're a there's those kind of weird operations you could try. I don't know what else you could really easily do. But.
Especially with what they're planning to do with the new outfall and all these things. It has even more likelihood that they're going to have a difficulty not wanting to operate.
Okay, you see the numbers, Tom. What do you like what the track we're on? I mean.
Well, it really gets down to kind of your just overall general philosophy of, this is just like just direct survival. I know guys in our shop are saying, hey, as soon as you put these fish through the collection system, bypass their SARs, are so much lower than the transport SARs. It makes this even more fuzzy because you looked at that transport study we did and it said fish that went through the bypass survived much worse than the trans that were either transported in river. So really, it starts going, it's like, okay, as soon as you collect fish in the canary, what does that mean for SARs? And how does that compare out? Yeah. I thought I liked using SARs from the transport study, but it, like, the indication was that bypass fish didn't work. There's a negative long-term negative benefit for them that got bypassed. So that's the other question. It's like, yeah. Just transport the early ones? I don't know.
At McNary, that's what you would do if you weren't rebuilding the outfall.
Yeah, but then you're going to rebuild the outfall. And,
but so, then if you spill more, you're not going to flow by your outfall pipe.
Well, that's the thing. Is, I mean,
it's a trade-off.
Yep. So, I mean, that's the other option you could do. It's like talk about increasing spill while your screens aren't in, and then once screens are in, then you back down to whatever your spill is. I mean, those kind of crazy mitigations, I don't know. There's a lot of ways to try to skin this cat. I mean, I know there's a lot of push in our shop to among certain members specifically that are hard bent on keeping the screens out.
Good. Then I'd like those guys to tell me how many steelhead and Chinook should die.
I'll be sure to get back to you on
that. I'm serious.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, the folks that are pushing that should they... The reason I did this was to show people the real issue. And, you know, the numbers may be a few plus or minus that, but the mortality rate is still there, and whether their SARS or return rate, you know, that's another question, but I don't have those answers.
We talked about this last week a little bit. The idea of introducing these conflicts are coming in with screens in the area of one in particular and saying, you guys talk with your salmon people together, sit down and figure out what is acceptable to you guys as a critic or as a group. It's hard.
No, it is.
It's offsetting.
Is there just a way to talk to, to avoid like what we had in 2008, which is you have this big pulse or a big hatchery release?
But if they are, part of that gets to be, is there any way to predict when lamprey are coming? I mean, and that's almost impossible here unless you look at it. If you say, okay, we got a freshet coming out of John Day, we don't have any. I mean, I don't know if that corresponds then with all the wild guys coming out then or not either.
Yeah.
But I mean, like before a certain date, if you have a freshet early enough, do you say, is there a way to predict likelihood of when they're gonna get there? I don't know. But that's something that might help open it for a short period where an acceptable take, you could say fine tune when you take
the problem
take.
With the freshet is that's when you get a freshet, that's what wild steelhead are moving out on too. So you can have
a good time to pull your screens? You're gonna put more of those away anyway. I mean, you might have an opportunity in May that's better than you do in April. Because your percentage of water going to the spillway is higher just because there's no turbine capacity left. McNary jacks up in May because you're flat empty.
I'm not sure what I understood, though. We're trying to protect fish the first week in April.
But if you're really trying to get your best bang for the buck, you've got, 18% a day? Or your highest peak is in May. And so the time that you may actually want to do a lamprey operation may not be April, maybe May, because you have such a high amount of water going to the spillway anyway. Take the screens out for a week in May or 10 days in May and then put them back in.
I suspect that your numbers for bypass are still
not. Put them back in.
Yo-yo's up there.
The fast deploy screens. I mean, if you're trying to get a trade off with the least amount of impact,
quit wincing.
So last year, when did the screens are in by the 14th?
Yeah, the first screen was installed on the 7th. The last screen was installed on the 14th.
So what we need is, I think the 20th is too late. You know, that's kind of what's on the table here.
No, it's not. Because we start ESBS installation on the first Monday.
Oh, where's it going?
So
the latest Monday.
So the latest Monday would be the seventh.
Okay,
the latest Monday would be the 7th, and then 2 weeks after that. So 7 plus 14.
That's 21.
That's the 21st. Would be the latest.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's too late. I'm saying that I don't care what year it is, it shouldn't probably be any later than 14th of April, which is kind of what we did. Right now, we need to pick something to get us through at least a year. I don't see this as us resolving this issue to any long-term
installation.
Well, I mean...
I mean, that would give me a little better...
Not really. We gave them 2 weeks, and they tried to do it. I'm sure the first day that they could have done it was, I believe, the 6th. And they planned to do it the 6th, and then something happened. Something broke. They couldn't do it the 6th. And so we have to just plan, and it's not going to go perfectly.
It takes 2 weeks to do it.
In this instance, they took... they wanted to do it the 6th. They couldn't because there was a crane issue. Well, then they got it going the 7th and 9th. And then they had some other issues, some other technical issues came up with other crane. There was a couple days where they couldn't do it again in the middle. So they actually installed the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And then I believe they picked it up again a couple days later. So physically, I think they're actually installing for like 5 days, physically installing. But the point is, we'd have a hard time compressing it much more than 14 days.
What's unit operation? Are we running all? We're running all the units, aren't we?
Depends on flow.
Depends on the flow.
Like 170 safe. Is the capacity of the powerhouse, or are we?
Within 1% or without? Within.
And that's
65 units.
Are we ever that low?
Well, you do.
In April?
I'm still looking in the one. I don't know.
Will that be before April 10th? At April 10th, it's going to be much higher. Yeah. So could you put in God, this is a crazy concept. Could you install a couple units to get you to April 10th, and then after April 10th, you flip the priority to the units that aren't screened,
that's what I was thinking,
have your spill, and then slowly put in those last screens?
Can you run outside?
It's ugly.
Can you run outside 1%?
How much outside of 1%?
Well,
that's
what we're testing.
The capacity is 205.
We'll know. We'll tell you next year after we do the test this year.
We're doing a test.
Is there any information
on April?
Any differential lamprey juvenile on screens at that dam? Is there any? Could we go back through all the
for lamprey
flight nets stuff and all that, and see if there was anything dealt with that? God. If they are coming out of the John Deere River, does it make a difference?
So how about if we spend a month and come back to this on the 8th?
Yeah.
Because you're going to need to know what too many is enough.
I don't know what more
today.
We can do today. I also don't know what new information we're going to come up with during the next month, other than will give us more time to...
Noah Fisheries has to decide if they have any wiggle room with this take issue.
Yeah,
and,
that's
you're right. You might want to think about this for some of the snake river dams.
I know. That's Bill can work on that.
See what the cumulative.
Yeah, but to take a little bit of exception with what maybe Richie. I mean, start to influence bleed over into policy. This is not just strictly technical. This is.
He was somewhat
big picture.
There is a reality.
You were trying to fill gaps here for the most recent go around of headbutting. Look at these numbers. How does that affect what you were trying to fill? Doesn't help.
There is a January reorg meeting that this might some of you would maybe put on the agenda.
Yeah, probably. These guys aren't going to know any of this stuff.
First thing
at some point, you got to start moving up the policy change.
Yep.
I've been stirring that whenever I can, but just to get them ready.
I mean, we can rewrite the change form. You know, one option could just be we'll start no earlier than April 1, and the last one will be installed no later than. We could say April 20 or maybe 18. So, you know, some...
Staggering. I mean, the idea of staggering or installation in a... Not just a sequential, but obviously the units that aren't running, put them in. Doesn't affect anything.
Right.
The units, so you don't have so many to put in when you need to put them in.
Mm-hmm.
So you get those in. You can put those in February if you wanted to.
Because they'll run, Gary. They will run. They may only run for hours, but the
chances of not running completely through a cold period, you're going to peak with them.
Late in March, in April?
Yeah.
Not in February. In
March and April.
In late March.
Yeah. They come up and down because you draft down to get to flood control. And then
so we're on the edge then of running. I thought so. Those were just not high enough capacity.
But you can't say put a screen in and it's out of service.
Well, it doesn't have to be out of service. It can run.
Lower
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the unit.
So we maybe want to build in here, install units starting no earlier than April 1, start with the lowest priority units?
Well, I'm thinking about using low priority units, units that aren't on. You can put those, you can get those done anytime. It doesn't affect lamprey or salmon. As you get down through the season, then what you're, now, think about this. I mean, kind of what Tom was saying, you almost, at some point you're going to want to flip over to the higher priority units.
Because once you get to spill, then you've got that what going through spill, and then you might be able, with your units that are screened, you might be able to cover those screens that aren't.
You still got units screened that are going to be taken.
What you do is you do the ones that aren't being utilized, the lower priority units. When spill starts, you switch your priority to the screened units and then work your way over to your higher units.
Screened units, and you still got spill going, so likely you're reducing number of lamprey going through the powerhouse, so you're going to benefit that way. It's not a very elegant solution, but it's...
So let's think about it in December, come back with some more.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is think through that.
Yeah. Here's what, like, this is some of the process we were having, going, like, what do we do? We were going over all these things, and finally, like I said, screw it. Let's just put something down on paper.
That's what we did.
First,
a brain dump.
You've got to have a straw man to work.
Yeah, so it's a starting point.
Where's that lamprey? I'm going to have copies of this.
Yeah,
I'm going to send out the electronic with the table as well.
It's on their FPC website, too, if you just want to download it.
Does anybody else want a copy? Let's do it that way.
Sure. Yes. I mean, it's highly variable, though.
But
that's the problem.
That was that. The whole point of that CritFic meeting, too, is to highlight issues like this about salmon lamprey conflicts. And
yeah, it's just just warming up.
Yeah. I guess right now I'm kind of leaning, if my thought right now is rewrite the fish passage plan change form with something like don't start installing before April 1, with the last one installed April 15.
What did we say for last year?
Did
we say the 20th?
No, we said what this said, which
two
is
weeks.
Two weeks.
And when did we start last year?
The seventh.
Okay.
So, but to do that and then install the screens following the lowest priority unit up through the highest priority unit would be the last one to install. That, to me, seems like the clearest way to do it for now, and then we might want to refine that, but that's kind of where I'm leaning right now.
Peter, what about, I mean, that's the question I have for you, is like, did you rerun the numbers of, like, once you are starting to spill, you still have this differential, but then you start looking more of a population concern, because then you're going to have a different percentage going through the spillway than through the powerhouse.
Yeah.
At that time, once you're starting to spill, could we then flip back to...
This isn't a population estimate. These are just
I know,
just fish.
I'm just saying, throwing out there, saying... Once you start spill, could you then at that point...
The one thing I'll throw out is back in 2004 when we did the Spring Creek test, we had spill versus absolutely no spill. Bypass didn't change, one for the other. Percentages was the same.
No, I know, but I'm thinking... Well, that doesn't help then.
You're right.
Well, no, my point is that actually argues against something else because that's saying if the bypass, if that number stays exactly the same, what does that mean for turbines?
And that was in March with very small sub-yearlings, but...
Yeah,
that's for the April, so... And that's subs, and these are going to be yearlings and scale.
I
guess the only question I had is, like, I mean, like, once you start spill, would you be more comfortable then operating unscreened units, or are you going to be less comfortable?
Well, I think you're less comfortable because you've got more fish going through the system. I mean, it comes down to a numbers of fish issue more so than a percentage of the population.
Look, when your spill starts, you lose about 3 days before you kind of catch back up. Your numbers are increasing so quick at that period that it only buys you a few days in what you showed in that 10 years.
Did you make copies of that?
Yeah, you can have this one.
Yeah.
Tom's
got an email. Sorry, this one. I missed it, but now I got it. Thanks, Tammy. Okay, well, I think we've beat this one, but we do.
Is there any way to calculate lamprey passage? I mean, do we have any information enough that
all we have is what they get at the sampler, and the problem is that the thing is we don't know. Like with salmon, you say if you see this many percent in the sample with portion, how we they track, we know we can do the expansion. Lamprey with no idea expansion.
In the sample facility, right.
Now all I'm thinking, we know is one sampling, and what's the expansion from that?
Do you have any information that's a ratio of, see, that's the expansion, the ratio of fish in the below the screen versus above the screen?
There is some work on the fight net, so right. And there's something like that. The question is, the million dollar question has been, is like, what's the percent? I mean, are they at 1-to-1? Of course, if you, for spill flow, like you're spilling 40%, are you getting 40 over the spillway, or?
That doesn't matter.
That doesn't hold it.
No, not for the unit. I don't think it matters. The unit, it's going to, distribution to the unit is going to be the same vertically.
Yeah.
So you could use fight net work that Briggy and those guys did at McNary with lamprey to determine how many fish would be below the 40-foot screen.
I can't remember the number, but we've got it.
It's, back down. It's pretty consistently around 70.
So you think it's
70%?
You're lucky, you know, it's like 25% is kind of the average hitting the screen.
That's what I remember, like 25-30%.
But, you know, on any given day, that can be a hell of a lot of two.
Well, or salmon. Pulses. I mean, but that's, you know, so you have those pulses. You just said it. You must know.
Oh, yeah. They always have been.
So can anybody do a dueling spreadsheet with lamprey? You've got the numbers. You've got you just came up with a rough estimate of efficiency.
Yeah, do you want me to give you an estimate though on?
Actually, this is just through the bypass system. This is not through the turbine unit.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying is like my thing, dueling in what? Numbers of fish going through units or survival? You know, dueling survival.
The mortality rate.
That's the problem is I have no mortality rate.
One versus the other.
Let's see.
I can tell
those on the screen, numbers. You might be able to get some kind of. You keep there on the screen stuff they did. You have some of those screens. People have it all over the place.
I know. It's like I've seen anywhere from like 80% mortality to like 50%.
Well, just use 50% as the...
Use the highest one. Use the highest.
Well, I mean, start out. You do both of them.
I was going to say use 100%. Whatever. Right. I mean, if you have an analysis that can tell you how many fish,
see,
how many lamprey are moving.
There's an inflection point where they cross. I see what you're saying.
You might come up with something that we can counter.
At least you know, yeah.
With data, not just...
Actually, the thing to do is to... I'll conjure into this one. Is do a year-by-year one. Because, I mean, that, when you do the 10-year things, you get a lot of this messy with freshness and that kind of stuff. Most better go just year-by-year, when you saw the sandwich of the lamprey, and that, and try to figure out where it's going to be.
It would make clean screens, so they document if they see lamprey on it.
The problem is with the screen cleaner, you don't see the lamprey. The only time we see them is when the screen cleaner breaks.
Yeah, it's... No.
The screen cleaner does a very good job of cleaning lamprey off.
Okay. And they, it's hard to do. If you talked about trying to figure out a way to enumerate parts.
Yeah, I've asked that before when you pull the screens because of a...
Yeah, it is a problem. I mean, there's pictures of what VBSs...
ESBSs
and VBSs, I believe.
Some
where there's, you know, juvenile lamprey in there. And you know, so you see a picture like that, and you see a couple pictures, and they stick with you, but you just don't know how frequent that is. I think there's...
It's basically during the piece. You get a big slug of lampreys coming through there, that's when they're going to be on the screens.
Yeah.
I was trying to see if there's a way we can figure out where maybe the peaks were through some of the cleaning that doesn't talk.
So we don't have to decide this right now. We will have our FPP meeting in January.
Oh, goody.
Okay. Yeah, we will move on. I think there's food for thought. This will be discussed again next month. So
there are, just for other issues that we talked about, the idea of hatchery versus wild. There's some of these big pulses like this one. Is hell hatchery? That's driving your potential mortality number. Most of that for the first 2 weeks is those two pulse on 2008 driving almost all your numbers.
They're saying the hatchery fish we can kill all we want.
Or just at least or less, have them just
or less weight as to their.
Yeah, could you wait a little?
I don't know.
Is their ESU fish?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, there's two arguments. Their ESU fish are listed. You got to be careful. On the other hand, we only consider wild fish in our analysis, so wild fish would be
the
premium. But I'd be hesitant.
It seems like that's
not
that
the ESU. One year is driving this number. If that's the number you guys are going to use.
We're moving.
The last column,
why is he going to do it? Well, that's why I'm going to do it a year by year.
I mean, it is. That's a huge percentage of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge.
And maybe one. Yeah, we got to end it.
Well, you guys can stay as long as you want.
Thanks. Okay, we will discuss again next month, so come prepared for that discussion. Okay, McNary 004. Dave said he wanted to stick around for this one, so this is the turbine unit priority with elevated temperature.
Oh,
Jesus. We wanted to look at water temperature. You know, this is an effect after the situation from this past summer. I wanted to make sure that we could actually point out to what operations we can do at the plant in order to solve this. And so this is the first, a good cut from Brad to actually say this is what we want to do at 70, when the water temperature in Fourbase starts getting at 70 degrees. And this is what he'd like to do at 70 degrees, we'll go north powerhouse loading. That's the big change in it right now. And work backwards to unit one, of course. And as you read through this thing, I would like to give him a little bit of leeway in order to decide what, you know, monitoring that water temperature in the collection gallery. Keep it from changing too much. You know, a 6 degree change in temperature is still too much.
Yeah.
I mean, but what can we do to minimize that in a daily process? You know, about 5 units, can you change the water temperature way up, on or off? And so that's what we came up with. It looked pretty good for, you know, the district to look at it this way. But as you can see in the fish passage plan, it recommends a couple of different things. But this actually sort of like clear, you know, what can he actually do to try to minimize that water temperature? I don't want to agree with you. Last year, at all.
Last year, didn't we go to a north loading?
We were already at north
loading. A little bit north loading when we hit our hit the temperature problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of have done that.
It's been that for that way for a long, long time. So.
I thought it was in here somewhere. I just can't find it. Now.
What are you looking for?
The old
north loading criteria.
Yeah, the old criteria, summer. Which this replaces, I guess. I thought we were always doing that. Once we get into the warm temperatures, that was the whole idea.
Last year, I think, with the way the operation was happening last year.
Well, the other thing, we've wanted north loading for TSW operation. You know, I mean, to the extent that we can, we have to have overflow of the outfall. But
you can see that, you know, the point is, this was not written in that 4.1 section. That's where it should be.
Is it special
ops? No, I found it here.
Okay.
And, for the special ops, and I don't think temperature was in that part.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Tim, you've got the outline that was
during
actually
summer.
Yeah.
It says during summer.
During summer, turbine operating priority will change to north powerhouse.
Okay.
Doesn't even say temperature. Just says during summer.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, it's that was yeah. That's because we're transporting.
Yep.
So you would, and you want your TSWs to be as effective as possible.
Yep.
Because we're not transporting for the health of those fish. That's the fact that you kill them.
Nice.
Bypass.
So cool.
Or the retention channel. Yeah, we're trying to get as many away from there.
Yep.
So we're already at north log.
Yeah, that's what we did last year.
That's why I didn't quite understand this one, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, it just doesn't seem to change anything.
It's a little redundant.
Yeah.
Is this redundant then?
Well, because we already say.
Page 20 here under McNair.
Page 20 under McNair, the fish pass planner already says. During the summer, you'll go to north loading. This just gives a lot more nice details about what it would, which I know Tammy wants in there.
Well, this when you read this, summer starts what,
June 20th?
June
20th? Yeah.
That's when you start.
Yeah. As soon as you start transport.
Don't even worry about temperature, unless you're going to have temperatures before this time period.
And if we do work on
so if you were to say something like that before start of summer or something, then it brings it in line, but yeah, I don't know.
But okay. So I understand. What's added in this first edition when recorded four-bay temperatures reach 70 degrees doesn't make sense. That addition shouldn't be made. But the bottom part to me still unless I'm missing something, does make sense, because now if within the collection channel we have a serious temperature gradient within the channel, we may choose to operate outside of the north powerhouse loading to try to get more to balance it and to get more consistent temperatures.
I thought the problem was not so much the difference in temperature between, you know, it wasn't what your temperature was out there, it was the temperature difference.
That's right.
In the channel.
That's right.
Yeah, the collection channel.
Which is
you're dumping cold water on top of
because we have units off and we're dumping turbo space on.
That's what we're trying to.
It's the change. It's that change.
So this down here is supposed to
address that
on this form. Basically says designate up to 5 turbine.
That would be nice to have.
You don't have it?
No.
This was corrected when it got out to the minutes.
Well, yeah, I don't know what
the changes were corrected as it came to that.
It would have been nice to have that.
Let me read for you. Okay, this everything in the fish passage plan is going to stay the same. It's going to say, during the summer, when all collected fish are transported, turbine operating priority will change to north powerhouse loading to improve juvenile egress conditions. That's exactly what the fish passage plan says now.
Okay.
At the end of that section, there'll be a couple new sentences. We'll say this. During times of elevated forebay temperatures above 70 degrees Fahrenheit, measured in the forebay, the project biologist may coordinate through operations division to designate up to 5 turbine units to a higher priority of operation to even water temperature differences within the juvenile collection channel and to spread out the tail race flow to reduce back eddies for safer smolt egress and safer barge loading conditions.
The only thing that bothered me about that is that the project biologist, I haven't seen him down at Erdick very much working on these tail race egress issues. So I'm not sure he knows what that would really be. In fact, I think that this would, I'm not saying this is bad, I think it's probably okay, but what you're doing is you're giving him the latitude to pick any units he needs to across the powerhouse to run whatever priority he wants to avoid dumping cold water probably on top of
cooler water instead of 75.
Cooler, yeah, it's maybe 14 degrees cooler or something, or 11, whatever it turned out to be last year. You're giving him the latitude to stop that, and that's okay. I think we need that. I don't think he has all the tools he needs, and that's why I'm trying to get this model.
That was my question.
Temperature model.
How's he going to know which ones to turn on?
I don't
know stuff.
Because it's Brad. That's why.
Oh,
and, I mean, he's been there forever. I don't know if he knows how to do that. I don't know that he knows egress. I don't know that. That's
by only Brad.
Yeah. If you have this unit and that unit, and a couple over here, and a bunch on that one, that's not good tail race egress. But I think we're kind of giving up on that. We're just saying the heck with tail race egress for the turbines. We're trying to do the best we can for the fish that are getting into the bypass system. That's what this tells me. Because we probably kill more fish with poor collection channel operations than we would in the fail race.
We saw 70% mortality because the thermals dropped.
I mean, it could be really
bad. The question then is,
but then so could tail race mortality.
The assumption is these temperature pyramids don't last a long time. Many days.
A week or so.
If you're going to go into this mode where you change the priorities to balance your water temperatures, what are you going to use to tell you it's okay to go back to normal operations?
5 mile an hour wind.
Something.
That's really what.
Whatever it is.
Remember Herson? It was 3 miles an hour, I think, is what it was. Is enough to turn that, move that hot water lens away from the powerhouse and turn it over. Yeah, well, it didn't take much. So when the wind blows, this issue probably goes away. But it's those really hot water conditions when you have no wind, and that happens surprisingly often enough in the summer. But, it gets pretty steamy. Well, I think Brad should have the latitude. Do we need this? Is for, I'd specify this only for 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this go beyond that because I think things are going to change, and I want to make sure that we come back and revisit it.
Okay.
Right. So if we put Brad retires, then we're screwed.
Well, that is true. Yeah.
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 You need to pay him lots more.
Okay. We'll add in there, this is for 2010 only.
Yeah.
See you, Dave. Okay. And we're also going to take this sentence out.
Just stop the loop.
Yeah. There's no reason for that. Okay, we're moving on. Okay, quickly.
Okay, Tim.
Thank you.
Lower Granite 001. This change form is just simply to add the table 12 to the Lower Granite section of the Fish Passage Plan. This table is only to be used for summer spill period. There's no change in spill volume, only change in spill pattern. And reason for the change was this was discussed at Fitterwig. Previous testing indicated that higher survival with a bulk pattern ish than with the flat. And so the bulk pattern is the one that's going into the Fish Passage Plan. We figure bulk spill Bill ought to like this, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
You good with it? Okay. Tom?
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things. There wasn't a clear cut benefit one way or the other, but I don't think it's going to be a detriment.
Okay.
Good.
And Scott, I assume you're on board with it. Okay. Next one is Appendix B001. And this, if you recall, is getting. We talked about this last time about when we get low fish numbers. And so the change form simply says.
Underlined in that paragraph.
Yeah, mortality rates of 6% or greater do not need to be specifically reported when 50 or fewer fish are reported in daily
fish. Trigger. I can live with that.
Okay. Bill, are you okay with that?
I wasn't okay with the sentence before that.
That sentence is already in the. That's right in.
We've been living with that one for a while, Bill.
I tried to address that one in my comments on it.
10,000 fish.
Yeah, that's if you look at Appendix B, D3, that's where it is.
That's about a 9,000 over what I figure should be in there.
Well, but that's.
I mean, the main trigger here is 6%.
That's for this one.
10,000 fish?
Wait, hey, hold on, Bill. I agree with you. Let's get to the next one. This one that Laura's put in, this is the one that I'm going to chew up.
What are you talking about that
this
one?
This 10,000 fish is ridiculous.
I don't care for that. I agree
with you.
I just thought the 10,000 fish that was in there from the current thing.
And Laura's put 10,000. He's okay with 10,000 fish or 6% for 3 days. Could be 10 million fish. I don't know.
Hey, you're the one who's approved it for the past 10 years.
If it was lamprey, you'd be worried.
Yeah.
You know, you guys keep telling me how good your biop is. I'm just following your lead. I'm just all part of the happy
family. Hey, I don't know. I just saw it says Tom Lohr's and it says 10,000 fish. That's all I know.
Hey, drink the Kool-Aid. Noah says 10,000 fish is fine. I just felt like that.
Hey, you know, your name's on it. That's all I can say. I don't see my name there.
I see it signed off on FPP comments.
So this,
no, I have no problem with changing 10,000 fish.
Okay.
I didn't do that either. There's no letter.
I know.
So there's this, no record. This is, like we said before, we'll still have mortality rates included in the weeklies that Bailey sends out. This is just, we're not going to sound alarm bells and when we have 50 or fewer fish collected
in the sample.
So,
okay, 500. I want to be notified if there's more than 500 fish mortality.
Oh, during the 50 fish collection period?
Yeah, because, I mean, with 50 fish, that's basically three. If you get three more, it's out of 50.
Right.
And that's, I can live with that. That number's low enough.
Okay.
We're okay with it, that one. Yeah.
Next one, you want to chew on me a bit?
But this next one, I do not agree with.
What?
Tom's?
Yeah.
So,
what
that's
not so.
I don't, just to be honest, I don't believe there's been enough time for the core to really coordinate, chew on this one, but I thought, while you're here, could you just walk us through
the rationale. Basically, like last year was when we saw that, it was, I think, a greater than 63 Fahrenheit, that's when we corresponded to a high spike in temperature.
high spike in mortality. The thought was, and we came up with the TMT criteria, if you see more than 6 degrees,
right,
you do something. What we ended up doing was increasing spill because we really didn't have any other operations to do. I was just trying to figure out some way to get that in there. And the other thing I dealt with, I was trying to deal with that 3 consecutive days, because the problem is since we are collecting and transporting every other day, it's hard to get 3 consecutive days really cleanly. That's why I went to a 3 days and a 5 day rolling period.
That doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Well, it does. I guess 6% is a huge mortality rate.
Hey, I was
this really isn't. I'm just giving you bad time. I thought you were taking stuff that was already out there, and I really have a concern with us not altering turbine operations or project operations when we have a mortality rate that exceeds 6% for more than a day, much less 3 days in any period. And 10,000 fish, it just seems ridiculous number of fish to allow to die before, well, we'll get around to changing the project operations. And I can understand if it was spill and it huge costs and all the issues that go along with it. That's different.
But when
Before
you get to the 10,000 fish, you start losing 300 fish, you may lose 700 fish, you may lose, 1,200 fish.
Right.
So then 10,000, that's a humongous number. But when you get down to about 300 fish, by the time you hit 300 fish, that biologist ought to be jumping someplace.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
I mean, he does.
And
well,
so,
you know why the 10,000 fish was picked. It was because we had that peak happen back, I think it was in end of July, I think it was like in early 2000, actually might have been like 98, when we had like more than 10 fish a day because we had high temperatures. We also happened to be passing like 150,000 fish.
Yeah.
So it was less than 5, it was less than 6%, but it was still a high number. Is the 10,000 fish a good number? I don't know.
Yeah, I know you didn't pick that. That's been ruled around for a while. It's just, when you read this, what it says is that you wouldn't...
I did and or.
That's when you would optimize turbine operations after you've lost 10,000 fish.
Someplace.
Now, if you had to go to that, I can understand this being a negotiated number after which you would go to a modified spill. 50 to 65 or whatever, 60% spill. I understand that. I mean, that's going to be a different, very high standard. It's going to be negotiated. It's not going to be easy.
Why do we have a number in there at all? Why isn't it just a percent?
Well, I guess the question is,
10% is too big.
Well, because if you get 6% at 170,000, that's 12,000 fish.
Yeah. Well, 6 is a huge number. 6%.
6% is pretty big mortality.
Can be. I mean, we normally wouldn't see 3%. No, 1%.
1%.
1%.
1-2%.
So this is 3% injury. So you're talking
3%
six times more background. That should.
You don't like 10,000. I'm trying to figure out what trigger you use.
Right.
And the percent was what triggered the 10,000, because someone said you could get those higher numbers above 10, so 10's a magic number.
I'd say 3%. If you went to a 3% mortality and you had warm water temperatures in your background, or you increased 3% over your background, maybe? You know, you had some percentage
3%
over background.
3-day background.
All of a sudden, you see
well,
this.
Would you
fight.
Historical or
what's your seasonal?
How about you just assume a 1% background?
That's seasonal background, sort of.
Yeah,
like,
I think you
don't
want to use something like a
seasonal background.
Yeah.
And season. Then you see that all of a sudden you have a spike. What you're trying to do is say, oh, we have something going on out there that needs our attention. We need to go out and change the operations. And then you go out and change operations the best you can.
Right.
I mean, Brad goes out and he starts
Indeed.
Changing.
Starts
we just gave him the latitude to change stuff.
Actually, but, they see something that changes, monthly, seasonally, whatever it is. It's outside of the normal.
Right.
That's when they got to start dancing.
Yeah, so I'd like that described as that's your first cut to go out and do some stuff.
Didn't I say if turbine operations are already optimized for temperature, then additional spill may survive as long as?
Yeah, that's the second sentence. But the first sentence says do that first after you see this mortality rate.
If you've done your temperature.
So is this, Tom, is this really just for spill? Is that all this really means?
No.
So the other stuff was just you knew you were already going to do it anyway, but you said it because you had to?
No, I'm trying to cover our bases to set up a list. I mean, sure, I prefer spill, but I'm saying if there's other ways to get to it before you get to spill.
Yeah. I'm not trying to
spill Boba Fett, actually. I'll get on the Boba Fett.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm agreeing with you that spill should be in there. I'm just saying, are these other things you put in here just things that you had to say, because people say we got to do everything possible before you spill.
Well, I want to leave, like, the other thing I don't want to have is like, it's going, oh, hey, we got this problem. We have this problem. Let's go have a conference call. I'm saying, yeah. Let's put out the easy criteria that we know things you would do. Get those checked off the list. If the problem's still there, then do that. I mean, that's the thing.
I just don't like the syntax. I'd rather have something else saying that.
Hence, I pulled a Dijkstra. I said, I just do my brain dump here. I said, let's this is my best shot at it.
So this is a Dijkstra dump here.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. We got one. Remember that one.
Wow. I'm just repeating what he said.
I have no problem with tweaking this around. I was just trying to get down some ideas today. Like, yeah. I mean, I just want to try to like streamline the process, because as much as I love conference calls on a Friday and then find out like, oh crap, we can't do it and that kind of stuff. I want to try to streamline as much as possible.
Well, I'd like to have the trigger that requires the project biologist to go out and change things much lower than this. But the trigger that requires the project to begin spilling above what it's already spilling, that is an issue that, if you guys have agreed to this, and it's automatic, you go to 60% spill, when you hit these criteria, then that's fine, it was negotiated, it should be in there. If that has not been negotiated, then we ought to negotiate that.
Yeah.
Well, this is where you would go and say, this is what the criteria is. We're writing the criteria that we've passed.
And then let the battle start somewhere else.
Well, if we write it in there, it's increasing the amount of times we're going to spill, then I have to go, right? Eric goes to the woodshed. I forgot.
Yeah.
Eric
goes
to
the woodshed.
He gets the dextrose.
He gets to go argue with power supply.
Yeah.
Well, if we, you know, I would rather this be just, this should be just to argue for increasing spill.
Okay.
The other part of it should be.
That was the question. Elsewhere. If it's assumed that we're going to do this other turbine stuff.
I think it should be. Okay. At something much less, like we see a spike in temperature, what Brad thinks is a temperature related spike, then he should go modify turbines just as the previous change form allows him to do. You know, then that should be done under a much lower criteria.
Yeah.
Then
the
next
lower
level.
Threshold.
Lower threshold.
And then you get to the higher threshold.
That's going to be a dire one, and we say, okay, you know, we need BPA, we need the core to push the handle on spill, and you guys need to agree to it. And that's.
And this is usually a TMT meeting that comes up, and we do it. Yeah. And we talk it over. We have an emergency call.
Maybe that's what it says, and it has to put on emergency call. I know Tom's trying to streamline the process there.
As much as I love conference calls. Yeah, TMT is just
going to
be much more
spill, that's normally enough of a thing to get more.
With one person
in August to get people fired up.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like saying, I don't like being dependent on TMT to make decisions. I'd rather have, like, go out there and do it and then have a TMT call after it started and say, okay, this is what we did. Does that still make sense? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get
to. Well, this is what we did last year.
Yeah, we had to have a conference call first.
But,
we did it.
You know, is this something that can be written into the plan?
That's my point.
As an operation. But, you know, it's after all, this is the dire point.
Exactly.
Mortality is rampant. Brad's done all he can. We don't want fish going through the powerhouse anymore. Mm-hmm. We have too many going through the powerhouse. We need to get them out of the powerhouse. It's just a dire situation.
Yeah.
Is it a TMT call no matter what, or can we write something in here? That's the question.
Didn't we write that the Project Bio can take an action if he has a certain...
Yeah, but I don't think that action included.
It's one of these, put your head in the block.
That's you have to make the call.
The project bio discretion would be, for example, lower granite debris, and we couldn't keep debris clean, so we couldn't load barges. It was just dump all the fish back to the river.
Yeah.
We have that built in, but we don't have triggers built in for the project bio to increase spill.
That's your job, right?
Yeah, that's something I would coordinate.
And that's why it falls into the you got to have the as much as we don't like these. Those are the really important ones.
Yeah, I know. It's just more like I hate having that time lag. I'd rather have someone go out there, make their first shot, get something going,
and then have the compost.
That's a good point. It could take a whole day. I mean, Brad's sitting there with up to his knees in dead fish, and
right.
He's got to call Tim. Tim's got to call the TMT folks, and division, and by the time all that happens, another day's gone by. And
well, that's what happened at Lower Granite last year. We had that big debris spike.
Yeah.
And we had that big debris spike at Lower Granite last year, and we sat around for at least a day or so trying to get coordinated what the hell we're going to do. I'm going, guys, it's not rocket science, this one. I mean, we're screwed. We cannot keep the system clean. We can't. You're going to have to just try to get those fish out of there until we can get a handle on debris. I mean, let's not have a conference call and stuff that we pretty much know. You guys have done everything you can.
Well, let's put it this way then. You've got a you've got a change form. I think it needs to be modified so that it says that if we get the 6%, 3 days out of five, rolling average, and over 10,000 fish, the project will spill an extra 10%, get up to 60%. Because we're doing 50 now.
Well, we say 10% more gas cap or whatever. I mean, obviously
or
not
gas cap. And then let you guys chew on. Take it to, you know, put it out there as a change form for comment.
Change two variables. You make rolling average. Instead of three consecutive days, you're trying to make three out of five.
Right. A rolling average.
So that's going to increase it quite a bit.
You think so? I mean, I looked at it last year. I think all we would have done is we would have started one day earlier. Because I looked at it last year because I was just trying to make sure we had that. Because I mean, I know there's a lot of kibitzing in house going, like, well, it's every day. I think it's hard to get 3 days consecutively. So I went back and looked at it. I mean, by doing 3 day roll conservative, we would have started a day earlier. That's all we would have done.
Well, geez, some of these events probably wouldn't last more than 3 days anyway.
I think like last year was like a week.
We kind of almost closed on the barn door after the horses fled.
Yeah.
Well,
I know that's what
if you go too long.
We'll take a stab at it and we'll review it again.
Yeah, essentially, this is the discussion I wanted to have take place. I wasn't anticipating approving this change form now. It was just to give Tom an opportunity to explain it, have some discussion.
Thanks,
Pete. So, if you want, I can take another crack at it.
Please.
I'll take another crack and send that to you guys. Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
See if we can get something.
Yeah, the only thing I objected to was the turbine part of it. So, if that can be taken in
the clip. You said the turbine's already done.
Yeah,
I didn't really assume that. Mm-hmm. Then Greg sent me his, which looked like it was going to be done. So I'm saying, well, then we need to meld these two together.
Yeah, I mean, we do.
I think it's covered.
Okay,
let's just make sure it is.
So okay.
I had two last-minute ones too to mention.
Okay, I have actually we have one more change form from Wall Wall.
I was going to say is if Tammy can send out Greg's. One, I'll then try to meld mine into that one in a different color so we can then see how
we can put these last two on.
Walla Walla is not my responsibility. Oh, however, send it out for you.
You lucky bastard.
Come on.
Okay.
Nice. And then I guess the last question I had is did you, Gary, did you want to try to like add a different criteria about that turbine operation, like use 3% or 5,000 fish a day?
I don't want 6% with a 5 day. No way. That's crazy.
So,
I mean, it needs to be something much more stringent than that. Think about
it. And it's going to be specific McNary.
Yes.
Something like maybe 3% above background, historical background,
like that.
Or
seasonal,
five
whatever.
Something
like
those. You
tuned out about 45 minutes ago.
I think that's my list. Smith fruit lumps. Targets for McNary.
Okay. So, if we can just finish up the last Walla Walla change form. Greg has, right?
I have two more as well that I didn't send you guys.
Okay.
They're last minute, I'm sorry.
Can we get the two that are on here so I can be done with that? There's only two more and they should be approved because they've been fully discussed by the parties.
Okay, so...
Which one will we
and then you can go on with your...
Appendix J001, Bonneville High Temperature Sampling.
J and K, the next two are J and K, and this was Gary's request from last year that Rick and the Project Fisheries get together and get language that they could all agree upon, and this is
and
what they
you guys
they
are
came
not happy,
with.
Rick?
You guys...
We finally got to a point where we reflect what we do, and,
you're good?
And it's clear, it's good.
And you're good, Tammy?
I was happy.
If I get Rick and Tammy to be happy,
this is amazing.
That's a successful day. That might be a successful season, actually.
Something will break before the end of the day here, so.
That was pretty smooth. Thank you.
Rick. So I didn't read the. I read through the Bonneville one. I didn't. Yeah, I got interrupted before I finally got to the. Well, on the John Day
Are they pretty much the same except the once a week versus every twice a week or once,
yeah,
every other day?
The frequency is exactly the same.
So those are.
That didn't change. We just made it clear where the temperatures were going to be coming from and what the probe was going to be used for.
Excellent.
And the language was we removed that ambiguous.
And you made the 69.5, you said below instead of at.
Well, no, we went to instead of below, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, when it drops two.
Two, right, got it.
When it gets to 69.5, we'll go back to normal.
But both sections are identical except for the sample frequency.
Great. Amazing. How many years did that take?
Yeah, it's only three or four.
How old's Kenna?
Sweet, they can see you.
Okay, so let's see, Appendix J and Appendix K. That we just covered those two change forms. Okay, so one more. This will be 10:14 on your agenda. Is Little Goose, and Greg just passed this out. We told you we were working on this change form, which is essentially pulling the footnotes out of the table into the text of the fish passage plan.
Exactly.
And so essentially, what this is doing is saying when we're going to operate the low crest, the high crest, when we're making the transitions.
Hold on. I don't like this. It's not LGL, it's LGS, correct?
So we're talking about LGS 0001.
Were you a Swiss watchmaker in a previous life?
So tired of the different ones. It's killing me.
What's more grand is that?
LLA.
LGR.
It's LLA.
It's LWG.
LWG is lower granite.
It's
your official.
Yeah, it's LWG, lower granite.
Yeah, well, take your pick. This tells you how long you've been around, which one you use.
Yeah.
I know it's my say.
You look at.
I know SCP uses the wrong ones. I commented to Granda on
it. It is.
It's LGR.
We use LGR.
Yeah.
What does the RCC use?
LWG. That's where these came from, the FPP.
From the Corps' website, is their official review.
It just depends on which, which
official website.
It's pretty amazing what they have abbreviated.
Do they vote for Tammy yet?
Okay.
T-A-M.
I was trying to come up with a good one, sorry.
Moving beyond the
acronym. Moving on to LGS.
Okay, so this is...
I know.
LGS 0001.
I mean, you can read what this says. This is what was in there last year.
Bill, do you have this?
I bet he doesn't.
Did you email us out?
Bill, are you online?
No, this is not the new email.
This didn't get emailed out.
I
so he doesn't have it.
Bummer. I saw this one.
Okay.
Better get this thing out.
Hey, this just updates it.
The table.
Huh?
What's the new table going to look like? Is it going to be exactly the same?
Same table as last year.
Same table with the footnotes and are now put into the body.
It's the same table as last year, just that all those things that are in small print are being brought out and put right into the text of the FPP.
Right, which still may not be read. There may be a way to display in the table as to when the transitions occur.
Big bold highlight. 75.
That narrative at the bottom.
Right, that's what's going into here, but the actual table itself, when people are reading through it, you've got two tables, so they need to know which table they need to be on. Mm-hmm. There might be a way to combine the tables to know.
The only problem is there might be times we really need two tables. The reason being, if we're in the low crest position to start the season, we might be starting the season at it might have 60K in the river to start the season, but we're still going to be in a low crest.
Yeah, right.
And so if you look at the table, normally we're not going to be using.
You wouldn't be there.
We wouldn't be there, but because we're starting the season. We would. That's why we have two tables.
But can the high and low be on the same table? And just have the columns run next to each other? People sometimes grab
one of minds.
Yeah, but what's happening with the scholars is
Should I get out of the way?
Operators
don't care. They listen to the scheduler. And what's happening with the scheduler is grab the wrong table. And you utilize it. So if both of them are in columns next to each other, then they'll see, well, oh, I need to make a decision here versus... Fully, I'm on the wrong table, and I look at the title.
Yeah, but I guess the for an operator though, so, or someone in the control room, they're gonna just know. Okay, we're at low crest position. I use this table.
They will, but they only get a, they get a signal from the scheduler that says spill 32.
Okay.
He just turns it off. He doesn't go, oh, wait a minute, he must be thinking I'm at my high crest.
And I see what you mean.
By the time the signal gets to the operator, he just loses it. He turns it.
I see what you
rarely
mean.
Do they wake up enough to go, no, aren't you making a mistake?
Which table now? Should I be on?
Exactly. And so it happened like 3 times last year, and that's why I would suggest that we make it into a table.
Say about the operator.
That they have them side by side, so they sort of have to know that you can look at the top.
Okay. We can look at that right now. But yeah, we'll take a look at it.
We don't need to decide right away.
Yeah.
But see if there's a graphical way to maybe clean it up for them. Okay.
The some of the key points on this, I guess, we're starting the season with a low crest in place. And I guess I'll just go right to the end. We're ending the season when we fall below 35K. That's when we'd remove the weir from service for the remainder of the fish passage season. When you're
that was the question.
And it's
had,
and it's will be removed from service within 3 business days.
Well, the question we had on 35K is like, how's it going to be measured? 35K instantaneously, 35K for 3 days, 35K. How? What's that 35K?
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying, like, is it going to be 35K on an hourly basis, 35K on a 24-hour basis, average 35 over 3 days?
Because we hit it over the weekend, then we bumped out of it for 3 days, and went back underneath it. So.
Yeah, I mean, how are we going to think about the periodicity that we're going to want to use for that trigger? Like, do we want to do like
a
3 days consecutive? Or
is it a flow, or is it more you know, general operation sort of thing? Yeah.
What do you think? Two days in a row of 35K?
I would almost say three, because you have weekends. You're going to get dinged on your damn weekend.
Yeah, but then it will be removed from service, and we can say within, right now we have within 3 business days.
That's fine, because the next weekend you'll be below it again, too.
Right.
It's sort of showing up as a trend.
Yeah, so if that's really what you're after.
Yeah. I mean, last year we should have put it back in service, but we didn't.
So, yeah, the question is, how do you make sure you don't pull it out too soon? I mean, if you're going to be below 35 for most days of the season, obviously that's where you want to go.
So why didn't you say non on business days,
you can sit during the weekdays.
Yeah, weekdays.
Monday through Friday, if you're going to be
if it's 35
2 days in a row on Monday
days,
through Friday.
Monday through
How's
Friday.
What do you think about that, Scott?
What's the most you can spill through the RSW by itself?
The 32.
No.
Seven?
Five or seven?
Seven. Oh, it's 7K because it's 11K. It's for the high crest.
Higher,
for the low crest.
So seven.
So that should work out fine because you have 1 unit on at 12K.
Yeah.
You have some flex. You start closing gates over those weekends.
Yeah.
What we had last year is we had totally ran out of water.
Yeah, I know.
We had left it so that both spigots had to be open and the mouth we had less coming in.
Yeah.
35 is a good trigger.
Bill, did I hear your voice?
Yeah, that was good.
You okay with that? Okay.
Did we say 3 days? 3 consecutive days?
2 consecutive Monday through Friday.
Three, yeah.
Hell, you could probably say any of those.
Monday through Wednesday, so they can take it out Thursday.
Because they only have one day.
I work on Friday.
I don't work on Friday. So.
You brought them in on Saturday.
I would just say 2 consecutive days, and then it'll be removed within 3 business days after that. If that happens on a Thursday, Friday,
then there's
3 business days after that. So they could take it out Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of the following week.
And do you want to say day average?
Sure.
You do day average?
Yeah.
I think day that average. That's takes care of. That's your peaking.
Day average.
Yeah, I think you're your peaking issue.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. So what we'll do is we'll just clean that up, send it back out. But this is
we can approve it. We can approve it next when we might have more than 4 members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The regular 4.
Okay. Doug.
Two. Sorry, they were late breaking. Just got them in and didn't have time to get them out or on the agenda. But min gen tables.
They're trying to sneak in.
Pretty much trying to sneak in. So as far as lower granite goes, the very back, section 4.1.2, last sentence in the very end of the document indicates min-gen requirements are 11 to 12 kcfs for turbine units 1 through 3 and 12.5 to 13.5 kcfs for turbine units 4 through 6. Evidently, these are not correct.
Oh, really?
So what some folks have done in our shop is put together a table, which I will pretty much update, and then we can send it out. But evidently, there's been some inconsistency in decisions made with the information that's in here. So, for example, in the FPP it says min-gen is 11 to 12 KCFS for turbine units 1 through 3, but it sounds like it's more like 11.3 to 13.1.
But you've got your, is that the fish passage plan?
Yes.
What are the unit ratings say in there, the table?
Well, and that brought up a whole other can of worms, too. And we were trying to be...
That should be the final thing.
What?
Table should be...
No, but... Well, when you're talking about the 1% tables,
yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, which...
Well, then...
The lower end of that, with the head variability, should be what you're talking about. That should be 11...
But they're not... They don't tee up, as far as...
They should match.
They should match.
But they can't operate there, is what you're saying.
Well,
they can't operate there, is probably what they're bumping into.
Folks in our shop, and again, I'll try to flesh it out better, but the idea was a lot of times these 1% turbine operating ranges, they're your owner's manual. They may or may not reflect what actually happens in operations.
So those have all been index tested since they're not in the manual, not anymore.
Okay, well, what you're indicating is not what, I don't want to argue with you on this point, but basically, what I was told
we
is that
call the turbine king.
That's not the case. That in fact,
those have been all index tested over and over again. Actually, probably we're on our second time around for index testing on these units. This is reality, not owner's manual, not theoretical, not modeled.
Okay. Well, basically, what happened
those
was
are wrong. That we have a problem.
Some folks in our shop put together a more updated table that would better reflect the narrative sections in the fish passage plan that are not consistent with what division feels is being done. So as far as where to take this, what I'm hearing you say is that the 1% tables are correct.
They are.
Well,
I mean,
they're not.
What I
never could trust that.
What was what was discussed in our shop was, in fact, these are not exactly what does happen.
If those aren't right, if those are not what really happens, then those we need to have HTC.
Well, this is a big can of worms. Yeah,
it's a big can of worms.
Right. This is a big can of worms.
Because
here, the other way. So originally, I'm bringing this up now because this was discussed a month ago, and the idea was, okay, well, let's not open the can of worms. The way it's been done in the past is to deal with it in the FOP. So the FOP is kind of a circuitous way around dealing with anomalies, and that what basically ends up in the FOP goes.
Well, we don't want that, though.
I understand that, and that's what's driving this.
Are we even going to have a FOP this coming year?
Right.
We
made
it
well,
open.
Yes.
A lawsuit.
But that's the thing, is that with or without the lawsuit, the FOP will always be a form of guidance that will be out there, whether or not it's a Judge Redden FOP.
See, Doug, it's a new switch. Normally, we would not have had a FOP.
FOP's
just
like
4 years.
It's only 3 years old.
So the court appears to be wanting to go and have a FOP no matter what.
Right.
And so I don't know if it's 100% been decided, but... by all that's the route that's going to go. Normally, this used to be in the fish passage plan or the water management plan. There was no FOP.
In my discussions with folks, it was always the FOP goes away when we're not under a court order.
See, that's what I heard you say, but then at the meetings we had last week, we're going
to
write a FOP anyways, but I'm going, okay, make up your mind.
Then
I don't care
why do a fish passage plan.
I don't think,
plan.
Yeah.
Because it's only 10
somebody from your organization is pushing for
put it in.
Okay. Well, we'll have to figure this out because
I don't see the FOP in the biop. I do see the fish
FOP
passage.
In the biop. Exactly. FOP. Well, that's why they're putting the FOP in the fish in the FPP to cover the size.
Yeah.
Well, then it's part of the FPP. Then let's just blend it in and call it the FPP and be done with the FOP.
The reason why I said that is because I specifically had a conversation with Gail about this a couple months ago. And sort of saying, well, when we do the FOP, and I was quickly corrected by her saying, well, if we do a FOP, FOP only happens if we're not under court order.
I think the thought was that they want to put the FOP there so they actually have the full operations and all that table in the FPP. I'm not sure why, but...
Just call it appendix.
That's,
wow.
I think, what the plan's going to be.
Okay, well, then it can be blended. It should be then part of the fish passage plan blended into it, and we shouldn't have tables in one part of the plan contradicting
Right.
a guidance
Right.
in another part. So we need to work that out.
Right, and it will be worked out, and it will
be
posted.
If HDC says that these are old, whoops, you know, we made a mistake in our index testing, good. Rip the pages out, throw them away.
Right, and make new ones. And I will take that back, and I appreciate that. That was my gut level response, too, but
Yeah, because that's, you know, when somebody says we need to do something with turbines and we got to go to the lowest end of the
right.
operating range, that's where I go.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Are we
going
to have to, who's the guy from HTC that?
Rod Whittinger?
Yeah,
Well, he's still down there. I got an email from him the other day.
He was
so.
Here 2 meetings ago. So, I mean, he's still available.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doug is getting up to speed as to what the issue really is and what questions to ask.
I know. This is long history.
Right, and that's the challenge, though, I guess, is the pushback. I hear what you're saying. I thought exactly, you'd be proud of me. I had my thinking cap on, and I said exactly what you said, and I the response was basically, you know, what the level of work, basically that's the can of worms, and so there's other ways we could go about doing that. The one approach was basically as long as we have a narrative, as long as this is in the FOP and we use this as basically let that drive the train. That's, but the problem with that is that it does create confusion, because then you come to FPOM meetings and somebody says, well, I looked at the FISPASH plan, and somebody else says, well, I looked at the FOP, and then we have to have an emergency CMT call on a Friday. So, anyway, okay, well, comments noted, and I'll move forward. And then the last one is for low flow spill conditions for Little Goose. And do you want me to read the narrative, or I guess reasons for change? Currently, there's no information or guidance on low flow spill conditions at Little Goose, and it needs to be added. The MinGen information for low flow needs to be put together with the low flow spill condition information.
Wasn't that the 35K?
That's what we just.
Right. But I'm wondering, this one also has to do with basically how it affects Snake River Project. So, for example, for the 30% spill, Little Goose doesn't provide enough water on a constant basis for LOMO to spill a minimum spill and maintain MOP. By watching the MOP elevation, spill, and flow volumes, it is possible to see when these low-flow conditions are occurring, and the Corps can take action to minimize the impacts.
Right. There's a transition point where we adopt the fixed flow versus the percent flow.
Right. But the idea here, I think, is when we have low flows, how we ran into problems last year, basically with, I think it was how Little Goose impacted the rest of the Snake Project. Is that correct?
Because they're a percent, not a fixed.
Okay.
So it changes. The only one that's a percent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it sends a wahoo down the river.
Right.
Yeah, well, MOE's technically not fixed either. It's just it's fixed on where the gas cap is set at. So it supposedly fluctuates around the same gas cap. And
so here it is right here.
Can't
it's
move every hour.
The most effective action is changing Little Goose spill to a flat flow of 7.6 to 11.6 KCFS, whichever is closest to the 30% of total river discharge. Based on past history, this situation only occurs in August, but in theory, it could occur in April when hourly flows drop below 30 KCFS for an extended period of time.
So that's basically saying at 30K or less, we should pick a flow of either fixed
flow. So we need to add that into this.
Okay.
Change form.
Okay, and I'll work on doing that. Who do I work with at Walla Walla? Okay, so I'll work with you on adding this verbiage.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's a good catch.
Okay.
So is that going into the FOP or the
Fish Pass plan?
They're both in the Fish Pass budget. What appendix?
What the FOP appendix? Or
we'll just have them reflect each other.
Yeah.
Footnote them in the table.
The exact same document, different title page.
And different text too.
And can use a different font. Can use a different font. Maybe like.
Do you want me to make a take a crack at this, or do you want to? What I just discussed. Do you want me to take a crack at it and then email it to you?
Yeah.
How do you
want
to?
Did you want to discuss your other about the fish mortality recording
and see if it meets the intent of the change?
How Bonifay keeps having dead memos, dead fish memos. Nobody else seems to.
I forgot about that.
Okay.
Well, I noticed it's not true because I was up at John Day a week or so ago on the 6th, and they had a dead fish.
That is a concern I have, is that I've seen Bonneville kills a lot of fish. I really worry about what's going on out at that project, because I don't see any other reports or any other dead fish memos from the other projects.
Bonneville's the only one dumb enough to talk about it.
No, it is. What's going on? I guess is the question. Do we just don't see mortalities at the other projects, or aren't we doing the fish memos at the other projects?
Well, when I was up at John Day, they had a fish that was found on top of some netting, I think, over on the north shore. And when I asked them how they no. Bob, are you still on?
I don't know.
No.
But they don't do fish memos, it doesn't appear. They just include that in their weekly status reports. So yeah. They're not doing the special memos, which is required by
it
the
is.
FPP.
Yeah. And that's the thing I wanted to make sure. Just my point is that people need to make sure that they do send us those. Walla Walla District, I haven't seen anything from you guys. And
they don't care for the Walla Walla.
A long time.
Do we really need those, though? I mean, that's a labor in terms of documents, the picture and all the write-up. How long does it take to get the right one?
At least 20 minutes.
Really intensive.
It's very helpful, though, because it does single out those dead fish, and you can quickly go back and see how many dead fish memos you've had for one year versus another year.
I do keep track of them.
It doesn't get lost in the weekly report. Now, I'm all for reducing workload, but in this case, it is good.
What do we do with them? Other than Gary keeps track.
Are you kidding? Have you seen the lumps I get on the head from Gary about all the fish my guys are killing?
Yeah.
Well, if you guys had to fill one out for every fish you killed, I'd see.
Well, see, but we fill out their dead fish.
They do.
Those fish memos aren't necessarily the ones that Bonneville's killing. It's the dead fish that are on our project, and we want to make sure that those are accounted for. So we will do the fish memo, and it's oftentimes CritFic or any other researcher, not just CritFic, that is in the AFF sampling.
Yeah, that's usually what they are. Is other.
We are merely the messenger.
Right.
But I'm not sure how else you guys would get that information other than direct memo, there it is, right in your face type of thing. I'm sure it must be reported somewhere. We just like to.
It doesn't
throw it
take, out. I mean, you can make it as much as you want, but
CritFic
what we wanted
emails
was,
us all the information.
Was length, you just cut and paste. You know, species, so
you're
length
about,
of their adults.
You're talking about morts that come across the separate.
No, these are adults.
You're talking.
Okay. No, that's
now,
small.
Now, all joking aside, in 18 months at Little Goose, the only adults that I saw dead were the jumpers right at the viewing room, which turned into a huge nightmare, and we got nets up. So I don't know that it's fair to say that, or to think that there's a whole lot of mortalities that are being
I don't think there
reported.
Would be.
Because we really didn't see any.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. But are those jumpers?
That's
those
why I haven't seen any fish
kill
memos.
Okay.
That turned into
well, they reported.
Major.
Well, because they're reporting the weekly report, they weren't reported in a special a special specific memo. I mean, that's the whole issue. Is like with Bonneville, anytime there's a dead fish, you get a separate memo just on the dead fish.
But those were because we went out and took pictures of where they were. You know, splash.
Don't know where it came from.
Yeah, we took that little goose issue here. We had pictures. We showed where the new netting was going to be installed, and it was installed. And that was for one or two fish jumps?
It was like one or two fish jumps and this anecdotal report that it happens twice a year or whatever. My point is just that it may not be going on quite as much as some people may think.
I'm not saying it is. I just want to make sure that when it happens, that we get a report. That, you know, we've asked for that. It's in
the
fish passage plan. You know, it goes into our take.
Yeah, it does.
It's part of the take.
To be
part of the bio.
Oh, the voice recorder's still going.
So I'm not asking for much.
No, I hear you.
It doesn't have to be.
To be fair, the other projects may not be as intimately familiar with Section 3.3.3 on preparing a memo and submitting it the next working day, like perhaps biologists at Bonneville are. And the only reason they are is because I hammer on them every time there's a dead fish.
So what we could do is that Tim and Byrne could send out an email to their project saying, hey,
3.3.3
should
be saved throughout the book, right?
For Portland District.
Yeah,
and
then we can
for all of your districts, but I don't think
I do
keep
track of
them.
Are these
more consistent?
I have no problem doing it, but I honestly
it doesn't matter much.
I honestly think that you haven't seen them because the only ones that I'm even aware of were the Little Goose incident, and so when we broadcast that out, we brought it here and we fixed the problem. But honestly, at the five core projects, that's the only one that I've heard of.
Now, I still have a hard time believing
that. I'm sure a lot of fish are dying that we're not seeing.
At Granite, I'm surprised we don't see more fish dead at Granite with that whole handling facility.
That's
what I've been utterly stymied about, is that we've never seen any reports from that. Oh,
can you contact the NOAA trap operator to work on that?
But that's a
no-wonder. I know.
You're never going to
memo out of
them.
Just
like, that's a no-wonder.
So do you guys?
Yeah, I know Darren's up there. I know that Darren's doing that.
It would be covered in our weekly report. I'm not convinced of that.
If you say zero, it just wouldn't mention.
Is it worth mentioning zero so that you guys are saying, no, we really didn't have any?
That probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't
give
be
anybody a confidence that you're making a positive acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a big thing to report.
No.
It's not easy to do.
Nothing that wasn't.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing that wasn't
accounted. Don't look this way. Move along. Don't look over there.
I've seen no thing.
Don't smell that barbecue over there. I know.
There's no blood trail leading to it.
Nothing here.
Hey, back in the old days, I actually saw a blood trail leading out of our vicious AFF at Bonneville out into the parking lot to where the cars were parked, and it ended.
And there were these screeched tires.
So a fish got a bloody nose and drove off.
It must have been. That's all I could deduct from that one.
But who says they're not evolving, these fish?
You're going to fly, you fish, they get drunk.
That's what's false in that.
Yeah, somehow I think that fish can drive itself home. Yeah.
So, looking at the little goose section, I don't see a broken out reporting or inspection section like we have for the Portland.
Yeah, that's what I sort of like thought. I don't think I remember seeing anything like that in.
For Portland, well, you have unscheduled maintenance, but for Portland, we broke out inspections and reporting to a separate section, so it was clearly.
Reports aren't needed in Walla Walla.
Nobody reads them, so.
I just turned in the same one week after week.
It was brilliant. Somebody didn't even change the date. It was well done.
Yeah, they don't appear to have a reporting requirement for negatively impacted fish.
For adults.
Or section 2.3. Yeah. This was just adults, then.
That's one of those Hearst sidestep things.
Well, they learn from their lessons. Like, don't report it, because look what happens when you do.
That's what I was worried about, actually.
No, it would be easy for us to add a section in the weekly report that says number of adult fish mortalities incurred.
Well, that's a quick way to do it.
And we can do that.
Holy cow.
And then we can track it.
Yeah.
And I am almost confident that at the projects you're going to see a total of zero. But
I'm going to ask for a little more. I'd like to know ad clipped or not, if you think it's those are that's what we'd ask.
Do you want to copy the reporting requirements for Portland and put it in the Walla Walla?
Yeah, give Tim that.
No!
Good idea.
No.
Thank you. Tim had too much free time already. I know. He's only
next year he's not going to worry about it. Make sure he's not checking the sports scores too much.
Well, you don't have to write this. That's what the project biologists are for.
What else he got to do?
Yeah, because they don't have any to help
do. This time of year, though.
All my reports were under Greg Moody's names.
No death, no more, no nothing, no problem.
No problem, keep all on moving.
I didn't notice any problems because I just sat in my office and drank coffee all day.
Yeah. I knew it.
But then as soon as I leave, what happens?
All hell breaks loose.
Good thing you got out of there when you did.
Yeah.
So we can do that.
Just some details on the mortalities. If they don't happen,
just take a look at the bottom ones. The bottom ones are literally like half a page, and of that half page, like two-thirds is the photo. There's like three sentences, that's it.
Yeah. I like reading them. I like the stories.
Yeah, it's all
they're creative, just kind of like that. I have no idea where it came from. It's dead. You know, it keeps me wondering, you know.
Miraculously appear on walkways.
Spontaneous human combustion.
That
just happens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tim's thinking, no, I don't want to go from this.
Well, on that note, let's end this meeting.
With another one.
Next meeting, I'll quickly recap. December 8th, we have our FPOM. It's a Tuesday.
Yep.
And it is 9 a.m., and it is here. And then January 13th.
Wait. December 8th is also the AFF meeting.
Yes, in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that cricket? Or is that
no, that's here.
January 13th is FPP meeting here, and January 14th is FPOM meeting here. And then February 4th, which is a week early to accommodate John Day, modeling trip?
Yeah, there's potential there might be a John Day.
FPALM is February 4th. Okay. And that meeting may start at 10 a.m. on the 4th of February.
As long as you have, I mean, Shane, nothing against you, but no more Smith Group proposals. What was that meeting? Because I want to go home before
December. 8 December, 9 o'clock, start time.
That's where every time Smith Group comes up, we are like late.
Yep.
I know. John and Ben wanted them first. They said, if you put them last, people will want to get out of there. You won't have to travel.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you for hosting us.
You're waiting. Tell somebody else.
No, thank you, Noah, for hosting us.
Oh, thank you for...
Mr. Tevlin, have you taken care of the room reservations for all these stages?
Done.
You're just going to say, just to get out.
Yeah.
Sure I have.
Yes, man.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
This is like my normal answer. Yeah, uh-huh. The shirt's done.
It's done.
What
did you say?
What did you want done?
No, it's done.
So the minutes are only going to be 32 pages. That's
sweet.
Not bad.
Sweet. That's got to be ready.
Yeah.
They're done.
All right.
Send them to you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
That's fast.
Oh,
really?
That's the benefit of me typing them out while I go.
Holy smokes.
Kind of nice.
We need that.
Oh, yes, we need this so that I can go back to it and say.
The liar.
In September.